Nothing can happen to you outside of God's will.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how God uses his angels to back up that promise.
We all say it's not what you know, but what? Who you know, all right? Same thing when it comes to the spiritual life. It's not only what you know, it is also who you know.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. The Lord is much more than just a friend in high places, and his angels are much more than just messengers. So today, Dr. Evans will explain how the work of angels fits in with the will of God.
I want to look at a verse before we look at our central scripture that will be a governing sort of verse. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, a scripture we have peeked at before, but I want to look at it again. Hebrews chapter 1 is really the most comprehensive chapter on the angelic conflict. It is dealing with angels and placing them in their proper perspective relative to Christ. He makes a statement in verse 14 by saying, "And are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" Sent out, that is, they are sent out by God to act on the behalf of those who inherit salvation. The job of angels is to serve. Now, with that verse in mind, turn to John 1, St. John chapter 1. Where we have a story that we have referenced that I want to spend a little bit more time on, and that is the saga of Nathanael. Philip, verse 45, finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets spoke, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We found the prophesied Messiah. Wait a minute, you say the Messiah is from Nazareth? Philip said, "Don't take my word for it, come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming. So Nathanael is on his way to Jesus and said to him, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. He is an honest, non-deceitful fellow." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? We've never met before." Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now that'll ruin your day. All right. "Not only do I know you, I saw you before Philip ever told you to come see me, even though I wasn't in the vicinity of the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." What will you see because of your statement of faith? He said, "Truly, truly," that means you can bank on this one, "truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." He tells Nathanael, because of your affirmation, you're going to see heavenly activity occurring in your life and in before your very eyes, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. It grabs Nathanael because Jesus has just told him what he was thinking about under the fig tree. You see, this statement of a ladder is really from a story in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10, "And Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head. And he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it." He tells this New Testament Christian now that you're going to see what Jacob saw. And if you know the story, Jacob was a man of much guile. He was the deceiver. In John 1, Nathanael is sitting under the tree, meditating on Jacob and meditating on this story. Jesus says, unlike Jacob, you're not a deceiver. Nathanael knows exactly what he's talking about because that's exactly what Nathanael is thinking. So Nathanael has an immediate question. How do you know me? You don't know me or my people. You do not know me. Jesus says, oh, yes, I do. I know who you are. I know what you're thinking. And because I told you this, you're going to see what Jacob saw. You're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, what's very interesting, you can't see it in the English, but the Greek tells us, in verse 51, Jesus says you and says it plural. I say to you, you plural shall see the heavens open. Now, this is in the Greek text. Why is that important? This is important because Nathanael isn't the only person who can get to see this. You and I, if we are like Nathanael, can get to see what was promised to Nathanael, which is the activity of heaven operating on our behalf by virtue of God's angelic host. In other words, this story to Nathanael and this promise to Nathanael isn't only for Nathanael, it's good for you and me. And there isn't a person in this room who wouldn't like to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God so that we're seeing the supernatural activity of glory being made manifest to our very natural lives here on earth as we live them for Jesus Christ. When God made this promise to Jacob, which is the foundation of the story that we're discovering here in John chapter 1, let's look at some of the things that came with it. So let's flip right back to Genesis 28 and let's look. He says to him after he sees this supernatural event, this ladder that was on earth with its top reaching to heaven. Let me say a word about that. The ladder was on earth, but its top reached to heaven. If you and I are going to be spiritually successful on earth, we must have access to heaven. Because remember, everything that happens on earth is precipitated by something that has preceded it that has already happened in heaven. So if you are going to have on earth that which gives you victory here, it must come from a connection that you have in heaven. We all say it's not what you know, but what? Who you know, all right? Same thing when it comes to the spiritual life. It's not only what you know, it is also who you know. This ladder that is on earth is ascending up into heaven. The problem with many of us is we either don't have a ladder, don't know where the ladder is, or have a ladder, know where the ladder is, but don't have the strength to get to the top. Okay? The connection is that what's on earth must link you to what's in heaven. And when Jacob was told this, God gave him, this is very important, a promise. He said, verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. Your descendants and the family of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I will be with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord has been in this place, and I didn't even know it. You know, that's bad when the Lord is around and you don't know he's there. All right? Jacob discovers that he's been with God, that this wasn't just a dream. God was making a supernatural disclosure of himself. Now, let me tell you what comes with the ladder. The ladder that Jacob saw, the ladder that Nathanael was promised, but not only Nathanael, the rest of the disciples, including you and me, are promised when we are in right relationship. Four things come with the ladder, all right? First of all, came God's promise with the ladder. He said, I will keep my promise and give my promise to you. The scripture says that God has many great and precious promises. Now, why is that important in the spiritual battle? Because many of us are living defeated because we don't know the promises of victory God has given us. You can't claim what you don't know. With the latter also came God's presence. He says, God is here, and I didn't even know it. Because Jacob was not spiritually sensitive until after this event. God was here. Unlike Nathaniel, Nathaniel said, God is here, and I know it. With God came not only his promise, but his presence. Not only that, but his protection. I will keep you, he told Jacob. That's his protection. Let me tell you something. When heaven is properly linked to earth, this is why you can relax. Because when heaven is properly linked to earth, or better yet, earth, your life is properly linked to heaven, nothing can happen to you outside of God's will. He saw, and so he knew that he could be confident even in a dangerous situation. The fourth thing, God gives his promises, his presence, his protection, but he also gives his provision. We look at the chapter 19 of 1 Kings, Elijah, and you may recall I mentioned about how this woman had him on a run, Jezebel. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time. Put it another way, you got 24 hours to live, boy. Now Elijah wasn't scared of all them prophets, but this woman wore him out. Okay, verse 3. Now he was afraid and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. He's not only afraid, he's now, what, suicidal, right? Kill me, Lord. It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life. I am not better than my father's. So he's ready to die. He lay down and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said, arise, eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again and a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. This means that when you at your worst, not only can God take care of you, not only can he take care of you well, but he can keep you going for the length of time until he's ready to show you his next plan for your life. He can cover you from kibber to kibber, pillar to post, beginning to end. And he did it through his angel. Let me show you one other thing along this line. Matthew chapter 4. Remember Jesus with the devil? He tells the devil, no, be gone, Satan. Verse 11 of Matthew 4. And the devil left him. And behold, angels came and began ministering to him, feeding him, encouraging him, providing for him. One of the ways, believers, that you get heavenly prayers answered here on earth is through angelic staff. God says to whatever angel is responsible for your well-being, take care of him, meet that need. But you notice in each case, even though they felt bad or were in difficult circumstances, they did a spiritual thing. Elijah was honest with God. I want to die, but at least he talked to God. Jesus just dealt with the word of God with Satan. Each one was spiritually attuned, even though they were having problems.
When Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll talk about the difference between faith in God's Word and faith in God's Son. First, though, he's here in the studio with us to talk about an important opportunity related to a major outreach of the Alternative, the National Church Adopt-a-School Initiative. Tony, tell us briefly what the program is all about.
Well, Dave, everybody is concerned about the breakdown of the family, the breakdown in our communities, high crime, all of that. All of this is theological and spiritual at its core, even though it works out economically, socially, politically. Unless we get the spiritual straight, we're just churning our wheels and turning our wheels in order to fix everything else. So by adopting a school and providing mentoring, tutoring, and family support services to the students in that school, you're also accessing the families. That's church, school, and family. And you can do all of this without creating anything new, since you already have all three of the institutions already in every community. So God has given us the opportunity to put together a training program and template that can provide the kind of transformation not only to the congregants in their church, but through them to the communities that they serve through the adopting of schools.
And here's the good news. We have an Adopt-A-School training event coming up here in Dallas on October 11th, where we'll provide you with all the information and resources you need to bring this proven program to your congregation and community. Your church leadership team couldn't make a better investment of time, so we urge you to do whatever it takes to get them here. Get more details and sign up online at tonyevans.org. When you do, be sure to check out the new edition of Tony's book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It walks you through specific ways to bring the power of heaven to bear on the battles you face every day, from common frustrations to deep, dangerous strongholds that can keep you trapped. If you contact us right away, we'll send you a copy of Prayers for Victory and Spiritual Warfare as our gift, in appreciation for any donation God leads you to make to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. In fact, you'll get the luxury edition with the upgraded cover that looks and feels like leather. Along with it, we'll send you, as a bonus, all 6 full-length messages in Volume 1 of Tony's current series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. This special double offer ends Friday, so time is running out. TonyEvans.org is the place to go to make the arrangements, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's message.
What are the conditions for God to let you see a ladder? Let me stay right here in Matthew 4. Jesus told Nathanael, he said, because you believed what I said. It's validated also in Matthew 4 by the life of Jesus when he was battling the devil. In both cases, they took seriously the word of God. If you're going to see heaven open up, and the supernatural presence of God on your behalf through his angelic host, you're going to have to take seriously the word of God. Many of us are not seeing heaven open because we're saying, this is what I think. This is what I think. This is what I think. Or, this is what my mama said. This is what my papa said. This is what my neighbor said. You won't see heaven unless you are operating out of the perspective of God's word. You must say to yourself, when you're faced with things that contradict the word of God, that that contradiction is a lie. We must stop calling a lie the truth. It's a lie when Satan says that you are bound. It's a lie. You have been set free in Jesus Christ. You thank God for what the word says instead of thanking Satan for what he says. And whenever you believe Satan, you're thanking him. And many of us, instead of praying the Lord's Prayer every day, we pray Satan's prayer. Our Father who art in hell, hallowed be thy name. Because he's the one we're believing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's the one we're following. He's a liar. If you're having a problem with drugs, that problem is real. That problem is not a lie. The problem is real. But its authority over you is a lie. Satan, you do not have authority over me. I've let you dupe me. You cannot dupe me no longer in the name of Jesus Christ. According to the word of God, I can overcome this. Not in my own power, in God's power, but based on his word. Satan runs from the word. He can't handle the word. It burns him to handle the word. And that's why he wants to detract us from the word. Now, in John chapter 1, there's also faith in God's Son. He says, Jesus, in verse 50, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? He says in verse 49, you are the Son of God. His relationship to God's word, but also his relationship to God's Son. Now, this is very important. Follow me. He confesses a commitment to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the King of Israel, which is the role of Messiah, and he confesses it openly. Now, let me show you something in the next chapter. In chapter 2 of John, read with me verse 23 and 24. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs, which he was doing. Now watch this. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. Jesus had on his hands secret disciples. They believed in his name. And according to John 20, if you believe in his name, you're saved. But what Jesus would not do, now watch this, is entrust himself to them. So you got a contradiction here. They believe in him, but he doesn't entrust themselves to him. Why? Because a lot of them were like a lot of us. They wanted to follow Jesus from afar. They wanted to be Secret Service saints. And as a result, the result is Jesus would not entrust himself to them. Or to put in the words of Matthew 10, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. If there is no public representative of Christ in the world, then there will be no private blessing from Christ to you in the world. You cannot be a secret disciple and see heaven open. See, that's what a lot of people want. A lot of people want public blessings, but they want to be private Christians. They want public display of heaven to solve their problems, but they don't want to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Now, in Genesis 28, they saw what? They saw a ladder. But in John chapter 1, we still see a ladder, but the ladder is what? Christ. Genesis 28, you shall see the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. But in John 1, he says, you shall see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In other words, angels only do that activity on the ladder called Jesus Christ. If that's not your ladder, you won't see any angels, because that's the ladder that they climb on. And that ladder hooks heaven and earth. So if you are ashamed of Jesus Christ, you have no ladder. And without ladders, angels don't have anything to climb. Angels only climb on Christ. No Christ, no angel. No angel, no divine help. So your confession is critical. Let me show you a verse. Key verse. It's a good one to memorize. 2 Corinthians 4:18. This is what it says. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Put it another way, if your life is driven by your five senses, you are not a mature Christian. If you are driven by what you hear and see and touch and taste and smell, if you are driven by that, it's not that those things are wrong, it's that those things are not enough. The focus of your life must be derived from the invisible world. You say, but how do I see that world? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. It's a mind thing. Now, some of you are going to see heaven and earth come together, and you're going to be able to testify that God intervened. When you do, make sure in closing you do what Jacob did. Let me close in Genesis 28. You know what he did? When he saw heaven and earth come together for him, he worshiped. Verse 16, and Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Now he's out under the stars. He says, no more. This is God's house. And this is the gate of heaven. Listen, when God comes through for you, don't wait till next Sunday to worship. Turn right wherever he came through for you, turn it into church. All right? Praise him where you are. Don't wait to praise him. When he comes through for you, you stop where you are and you praise him. Okay? He says, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now watch this. So Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put under his head. Now, all he had was a pillar. It wasn't a good pillar either. He took the stone and he put it under his head. He set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. Now, you say, what's oil? Oil was a way of sanctifying, dedicating. He said, this used to be a stone. This ain't no stone. It's God's stone. It became dedicated to God. And he called the name of the place Bethel. It's the dwelling place of God. Then Jacob made a vow. He recommitted himself, saying, if God be with me and will keep me on this journey I will take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, I'll return to my father's house in safety. Then the Lord will be my God. Up until this point, Jacob said, I'm my own God. I can do it my way. It's my thing. Do what you want to do. Now he says, God, you the God. Anybody who connect heaven and earth like this, you in charge. Finally, in verse 22, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. This is before the law. He says, I'll tithe everything you give me back to you because I saw heaven and earth come together. So my question is, how do you need to see heaven and earth come together in your life? If heaven way out there somewhere and earth way down here, that's a dichotomy Jesus doesn't want. Do you know right after he told Nathanael this with the disciples looking on, it says they were invited to a wedding in Cana, chapter 2, and they ran out of wine. Guess what they saw? Heaven and earth come together. They ran out of wine. Somebody said, we're out of wine. Jesus said, well, maybe, maybe not. Bring me some water pots full of water. Brought them some water pots. Water was changed into wine, and they said, we ain't never had no wine this good. The point of the story is that Jesus Christ let them see heaven and earth come together. The miraculous intervention of eternity into time in your life and in mine.
Are you ready to experience a real-life relationship with Jesus? Here's Dr. Evans to explain how it can happen for you right now.
If you've been listening to our broadcast and you have not personally trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that he can give you the gift of eternal life right now, I want you to go to God and transfer your trust from any and everything else except the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and arose from the dead. In fact, I'm going to say a little prayer, and you can repeat it after me. You just have to mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone who came to him for it. Thank you for saving me and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Welcome to the family. God bless you.
And that goes for all of us here at The Alternative. We encourage you to get involved in a good Bible teaching church so you can grow. We also invite you to visit us at tonyevans.org and click on the link that simply says Jesus. You'll find some free downloadable resources to help get you started, along with some personal comments from Tony. TonyEvans.org is also the place to go for details on getting Tony's current 2-volume teaching series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. Don't forget, for a limited time, we're offering the 6 CDs in Volume 1 of this collection as our thank you gift. If you can help us out with a contribution of any size to help us keep bringing you Tony's teaching every day. Along with it, you'll get that special keepsake edition of his book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. But only if we hear from you before this special offer runs out on Friday. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or let one of our staff members help you by calling 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Next week, Dr. Evans points out that no matter how ordinary you may think you are, each and every one of us is a custom creation of God. Find out what that means in terms of how you live your life when you join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.